So some of you guys were real scared because that I sent out the text yesterday to our mass text group that said, you know, hey, if you're ready to share, you know, maybe tomorrow morning you could share some about neighboring and stuff. And a number of you were like, me? What? I don't. And I had to say, we sent that. I sent that to everybody. That's all 60 who have signed up for our mass text. And people are like, oh, okay. I was freaking out. So relax. You're okay. We don't force anybody who share to share if they don't want to. You know, we've been doing our whole summer, and we'll continue talking about neighboring, talking about when Jesus said. When the expert in the law said, hey, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And then he said, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. We've been talking about that all summer. And then he went right into telling a story about the Good Samaritan. And we learned about that was crossing cultural barriers. That was, making it so it was a difficult situation right away. He went into that. To set the scene, it's like we've been talking about this since we came outside. Do we know the names of some of our neighbors now? Maybe those neighbors, remember we talked about, it might be somebody you work with or, you know, people that you're near. But yes, right outside our front door as well. So I wanted to start off this morning with some stories. And we have Dalen taking care of stories over on this side and Roland taking care of stories on this side. And I think Katie is going to be the first one to share, Roland, right here.
Okay. So, hi, everyone. I would say that the neighborhood that we live in, we've had a really awesome and probably unique experience, which I wish it wasn't unique. I wish it was that way in every neighborhood. But when we moved into our neighborhood, we were, it was a new construction, so we were the first family in there. So we lived there alone in this whole place for several months through the long winter. And then when spring came, we were seeing more people moving in, and there was one night after a few families had moved in where we were starting a movie, but I went outside. I can't remember all the reasons, it doesn't matter. I went outside and there was this woman walking into the neighborhood, and at the end of my driveway, and I was just like, hi, and we say hi. And 3 hours later, 2 hours, 3 hours later, we know everything about each other. We have a million things in common. And I missed family movie night because the movie that my kids and husband were starting in the house, I abandoned because I was speaking to this neighbor. And anyway, I come in, you know, 2-3 hours later, movie's over, and they're like, what happened to you? It's like, oh, I met our neighbor. And then from there, another family in our neighborhood, they started hosting like Friday night gatherings for everyone in the neighborhood. I also decided, since I was the first, we were the first family in this neighborhood, to create a Facebook group for the neighborhood. So anytime I met a neighbor, I said, oh, we have this neighborhood Facebook group so that we can connect with each other on there. We can talk about, oh, why did the trash not get picked up? Does anyone know? Or like, you know, things like that, but also.
Did anybody else hear that? What was that noise? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right. We don't get on and complain. It is not a place to complain. It is a place to have community, build relationships. And, you know, if there's concerns and things like that, we certainly, that's an easy way to be able to bring those things up. So all of these neighbors started gathering on Friday nights at this one neighbor's house. We were meeting so many people in our neighborhood. And, I mean, I probably know about 20 of our neighbors by first name. I don't know everything about them, but we know them, we say hi to them, we might know their kids and whatnot. But this first neighbor that I met in my driveway, guys, today, just what, a few years later, is literally like my best friend. And I really believe that God put her in my life in that season for a purpose. And I know that I have run into this lady in my life multiple times, whether it's through theater. She's seen us in shows before we ever knew her. She works in the building that my grandmother lives in. So I know I've seen her, but we had never met until that moment. Well, anyway, that's Angel from our church, Angel Stevens.
Well, we figured that one out.
And her husband, Josh, as you guys probably figured. And anyway, all of that said, we have become the best of friends. Our family has become very close. And little did I know that this family would really, truly walk and do life with us. They have seen us through our darkest days. They see us in our worst moments, and they have seen us in our best. And they love us regardless. It is an unconditional love, and it goes both ways. And it's awesome to be able to have a friend. It's nice to be able to have a neighbor. They went away this weekend, and I'm cat sitting. And I'm not really cat sitting. I went over once and fed a cat. But if you know me, you know. I mean, I like animals, but cats aren't really my thing. But I love their cat. But I love their cat because I love them. And they do the same. They come over and take care of our dogs and whatnot. Awesome. And it's. Anyway, it's awesome.
So it started. It started at that point just, where you made that connection.
Yes.
And now it's a blessing to you.
And now it's a blessing to us.
Ella wants to add to that.
I told you so is what I say to my family because they say I make too many connections. I talk to everyone. I make too many friends.
Are you still talking?
Yeah.
See?
Okay, I would love to add to this because the funniest part about this entire situation is that when Mom left our family movie to go speak to Angel, she came back inside, whatever, we all went to bed because by then the movie was over, like long over. And then the next day we were like choosing on a movie to watch, and she's like, what about this one? And we're like, that's the movie that we watched last night. She didn't even know the movie.
You guys should always watch Lord of the Rings when Mom's heading out to talk to somebody. She can come back after. How about somebody else? Anybody else have a, it doesn't have to be long and complex. It could be just the beginning.
Yeah, Holly.
I just want to say that when I first moved into my apartment building, the day I signed the lease was I met my first new neighbor. She'd been there since the building began. And she was a Christian woman. And I said, that had to be a God thing. So she was able to get me through adjusting everything. She has been my best friend. And since then, we have formed a prayer group for our building for the neighbors and everything. So we've gotten that together. And I just want to say that last week, one of our neighbors, she has a language problem. Learns a lot. She's grouchy. She learns a lot. But I was tired by the time I got home. I was hot, I was tired. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I saw her walking with a walker in the hot sun. She was going to Market Basket. And I just turned onto our road to go up. So I stopped, I picked her up, I took her over to Market Basket and brought her home again. And thankfully her language wasn't there. But I just want to say
that. What do you mean? She said naughty words?
No, otherwise she's mad about her ex-husband. But anyway,
okay.
Yeah. So anyway, say the police, you know, I mean, things like that. And since I bought the car, since I got the car, just wanting, prayed about the new car. And this was also a God thing. I prayed about the car because every time I get a car, I dedicate it to His service and His service only. And if anybody needs a ride or whatever, that's what it's for. And so He gave me a. She calls it.
So when you started this friendship, this relationship, did you start it with the goal of having a Bible study?
She approached me.
What I'm pointing out is you didn't start it to be like, I'm going to get Angel to come to church.
No.
You didn't start it with strings attached to say this. See, the blessings come after. The blessings come with those relationships. We're going to talk this morning about how the Lord oftentimes then opens the doors through those relationships.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So,
yeah, it was incredible. Out of the blue when
she asked it. Yeah. We're going to have more time, so think about yours. But see, the danger in this series, is we could actually take it as a self-improvement series. That it's really just be nice, you know, do random acts of kindness, know your neighbor, be friendly. No, that's not what this series is about. The series is about what our mission field is and what neighboring actually is at its deepest level is mission. Now you might say, well, mission has strings attached. You have goals, you have hopes. Well, every area of my life, I hope, leads to conversations where I can share with somebody the treasure I found. That's an unlimited treasure and is enough for everybody and has totally changed my life. I want to be able to share that. But I don't start off with that. So the question is, where does mission happen? When most people hear the word mission, they think it's overseas someplace. My last church had a guy tell me that mission, our camera's still looking at Holly. Hi, Holly. I had a guy at our last church tell me that it doesn't count as mission unless it's overseas. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Because that's not at all what Jesus said in Acts 1:8. It's the last thing that Jesus said before he ascends. The last thing he says. His disciples had gathered around him and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? See, people were still thinking Messiah was going to be a political overhaul. So many of the Jews were like, we're looking, our Messiah will put us in charge. And Jesus came as Messiah, but said, my kingdom isn't about that. And they're still thinking in terms of political rescue, but Jesus redirects it entirely. Acts 1:8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we look at the geography lesson. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Now, Jerusalem was where they're standing right now. It's where they're living, in Jerusalem. Then Judea, it was the surrounding region. And then Samaria, which we saw several weeks back. Samaria is the place where the Jews deliberately avoided. They deliberately avoided. He said, that is the crossing of the cultural boundaries that so often that we have, the ethnic boundaries. And then the ends of the earth, which is as far as you can get. Notice the order. Now, if I took a rock and I threw it in the river and we all went down there, you know, I was like, object lesson. Do we all take a walk down to the river? And I was like, nah, it's not worth it. But I almost did it. But if we went down, you can picture this. We went down, we stood on the side of the river and I took a rock and I threw it into the water. What would happen? Circles, right? They start going out, 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 and those ripples keep going further and further. I think that's a perfect picture of what Jesus is talking about here in our mission. So that's my point, that our mission starts where you already are. Your Jerusalem is your literal address. It's your block. It's your place of work. It's where you hang out. That's your Jerusalem. And so then the circles go out beyond and beyond and beyond. See, the people that Jesus is asking you to witness to
He wants you to witness to them first with your love, and then with your life. And then they begin asking questions. And then when things start to fall apart and they're hitting hardship, they ask those questions. And the Apostle Paul said, always be prepared to give up an answer for the hope that is within you. But when you do, he said, do it with gentleness and respect. Somehow that entire message got changed. It got changed so that people will say now, Christians are always trying to shove something down my throat. They're trying to shove it down my throat. I said, well, wait, that's not the Lord that I serve. The Lord that I serve says, I'm going to love you first. I'm going to love you in grace, and grace is undeserved favor, right? None of us deserve the grace of God. None of the people in our lives might deserve our love, our kindness, our respect, even in the face of disrespect. It comes by us being present. It comes by us being trustworthy. It comes by being the person on the street who notices when something is wrong, who shows up when something happens, genuinely interested in people around them. That's witness. It's not performed witness. It's lived witness. It's the kind of life that over time people look at and say, what is it about them? What is it about them? There's a man in the second century who received a letter that was called the Epistle of Diognetus. I have no idea if I'm saying that right. Not really big on the old Roman names, but if you're looking for a name for your next child, if you're having a baby, Diognetus. He was in a position of authority. And so this anonymous letter came, and it was written to defend and explain the Christian faith to a high-ranking pagan inquirer. And this is what he said, describing this strange new sect called Christians. He said, Christians are not distinguished from the rest of humanity by country, language, or custom. They live in their own countries, but only as aliens. They participate in everything as citizens and endure everything as foreigners. Every foreign land is their fatherland, and yet for them, every fatherland is a foreign land. They marry like everyone else, and they have children, but they do not expose them. They share their food, but not their wives. Wow, okay. They are in the flesh, but they do not live according to the flesh. They pass their days on earth, but they are citizens of heaven. They obey the prescribed laws, all while surpassing the laws by their lives. See, the thing that he was writing in the second century was that they were not like separate from society. They were fully embedded in it. And I understand there are many within the Christian faith that are like, we need to come out from them and be separate. Well, it's difficult if we take that context and we look at everybody around us as the enemy. That's not the ministry of Jesus. That wasn't the ministry of Jesus at all. Now, I pray oftentimes, Lord, would you give me your eyes to see people the way you see them? And that's something that I'm like, Lord, would you give me your eyes to see this person who I do not like at all? You know that Jesus, when they were mocking him and the soldiers cast lots for his clothing, and they were saying, you know, but take your son down from there and calling him names and stuff. You know what he did? He prayed for him. So I'm like, Jesus, give me your eyes in those situations. I would love to hear a couple more stories if you have them. Maybe it's the beginning of a relationship. Maybe there's David right over there. Dalen, let Dalen take this one. Dalen's ready to work. Dalen told me a few weeks ago, he said, I'm a golden retriever too. I went to a car show, and Dalen won a great big trophy, and yeah, he was a golden retriever. Both of us, we must have talked for 20 minutes. All right, Dave.
I would have stood up, but I now have a lap dog that just appeared. Hi, buddy. I kind of want to take a different take on the neighbor thing. I like to interact and brighten the days of strangers that I would only interact with a few minutes. So I'm a contractor. I'm out and about at hardware stores and restaurants all the time, and I have to interact with cashiers and servers and stuff. And the thing is they're at work. They're working, and then you show up and you have a problem, and then their day gets even worse. I try to do it the opposite. I like to make them smile, tell them a silly joke, or catch them off guard, because then it brightens their day. And then if I'm a frequent flyer in any of those establishments, then they'll see me, and they usually will remember me, maybe not know my name, but they'll say, oh, this guy, he's kind of a silly goose, he's going to make me laugh. Or it's just kind of an expectation. I like to kind of brighten and break their day up a little bit. I go to a restaurant and order something, and I go to pick it up, and I'll ask them, like, did you guys spit it for me? And then they're like, what? I just wanted to check. And it just catches them off guard, and it makes them laugh. And that, you know, I've been in those industries, those service industries, and you kind of sometimes feel like a doormat. People just come in, and they expect you to work directly for them, and then they give you commands, but I don't like to do that. So I kind of like the stranger part of it. Just make them laugh, and the catch and release.
Amen. Catch and release. I love that. Yeah. Ruth has one, Dalen.
I have two neighbors, new neighbors. Went to one and introduced myself. Nothing happened. Went over and introduced myself to the other one, and nothing happened. So I don't know. And now I can't do anything. Can't go anywhere, but they've been there for a few years now, and we haven't, got in contact. So it's just strange for me not to be able to have people.
Yeah, remember that our society now is kind of anti-relationship. It's very isolationist. It's we have all our everything we need inside our house. And we have people in our neighborhood, they come home and they go in their car, the garage door opens, they go in and we never see them. In the morning, garage door opens, they leave. No, it's like that. But what's important, Ruth, is making that step. You know, that first step is so cool. See, the gospel spreads relationally. It spreads relationally. Something that surprises people when they look at it carefully is that almost no one in the New Testament becomes a follower of Jesus through a crowd event alone. Now I understand Pentecost. 3,000 were added to their number. And I understand that Paul taught in the synagogue and Jesus taught in the synagogue. I understand that, but I'm talking among the millions as it spread. It spread people to people. All right, Chelsea.
So this past week, my aunt and her daughter, 6, were staying with us, and she and Mary unexpectedly ran into our neighbor's front yard and started climbing all over this log they have. And I had to run out in my muumuu and my slippers and my wet hair to try to wrangle the children. And our neighbor happened to be on the porch, so I'm like, hey, hi, sorry. And we ended up chatting for like a half an hour. And I probably talk to this neighbor once every 6 months. And every time I do, I remember that I like them and they seem really nice and we should do something. And then we never do. So I'm going to invite them. If Seth can hear me somewhere in the park, we're going to invite them to dinner. But I think sometimes kids put you in positions of getting over that awkwardness or having no choice but to go through it because you have to collect your child.
Yeah.
And by way of that, you're like, oh, right, you are actually nice people and I always enjoy chatting with you. So Mary's a lot better at this than I am, I guess, is the moral of the story. I have to learn to be more like her.
That's where we were talking about how our kids oftentimes get us into the beginning of a relationship because we're with somebody. Now, we're going to continue with this next week to continue sharing like this, to see how the Lord is using relationships. And next week, we're going to, if you have the outline for the morning, I looked at it and I went, nah, I want to change that up. Let's see if my voice holds up and put some sharing in the middle of it instead of just doing the full thing. So what's going to happen now? We look at this relational piece. Look at Andrew tells his brother, Simon Peter, about Jesus in John 1. Philip finds Nathanael. That's also in John 1. Matthew throws a dinner party, Matthew 9. The Samaritan woman runs and tells her village in John 4. Cornelius calls his household together before Peter arrives in Acts 10. There are so many examples of the gospel spreading that way. And remember, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, that's about us. That's about us mirroring him. Why was Jesus so attractive? Why was he? Because people were like, they could sense his love. They could sense that he had time for them. They could sense that he was there. And yes, he would heal them and bring healing to them. You know, we have those opportunities with people in our lives to be like, here's somebody who struggles with addiction. You know, hey, I go to a meeting on Monday nights. Man, would you come with me? It's awesome. It's just such a strength to me. Or maybe it's where you've gone through something medically and you're back in a hospital and you're like, okay, there are people around me here. Lord, how do you use me here as connections? I always used to pray when I was going through the liver transplant 14 years ago. Lord, use me however you want. This nurse that's coming in is seeming like she's having a hard day. And I would just stop, like David said, I would stop and say, hey, I know you are so overworked and busy to the max. I just want you to know, I think you're awesome. And it would entirely change their day, entirely change them. If we would be people who show the love of Christ to everyone around us in those circles, like a rock in a river, God will use us. The music team's going to come back up and we're going to have communion together for those who would like to share it. And we do it this way on a table so that it's not passed around to everybody, because I know sometimes it gets awkward. You're like, I'm not ready for that yet. I don't feel like I want to do that yet. But what communion is Jesus, when he sat with his disciples at that Last Supper, and he said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I am about. Remember my ministry. Remember what I've taught you. Remember what we've lived the last 3.5 years. Whenever you break this bread, remember that. The Bible says that Jesus said, when he took the bread, he said, this is a symbol of my body broken for you. Now, they were sitting there. They had no idea what he was talking about. Wait, this is kind of weird. But I have this theory that they were okay with that, because Jesus said a lot of things that they went, what? And figured out later. And then he took the cup and he said, this is my blood poured out for the remission, the payment of sin. This is my blood spilled for you. And again, they're like, what? Okay. Now, when they watched him on the cross, when they watched him die for them, they remembered the things he had said as they walked with them. They remembered when he told them that's what would happen. And so when we do it now, I like to look and go, when I go to that table, I like to be like, Lord, Thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for giving me a new beginning. Thank you for washing me of all that sin that baffles me. I don't understand, God, how you look at me and you see me through your Son and you see me as righteous. God, that blows my mind that you see me through Jesus. But Lord, thank you so much for that. So we'll have a time of prayer right now, and then as the music team plays, whenever you'd like, head on over and take communion if you'd like. Lord God, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Lord, throughout the Old Testament, we see the system of sacrifice to pay for sin. And Lord, so many times we think that is too harsh. But Lord, when somebody breaks the law and hurts us tremendously, Lord, there are many of us who want to see them pay dearly. But Lord, it makes sense. So Father, I thank you for giving us Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for your broken body. I thank you for your blood. And I thank you for these symbols that we have here now to remember all that you taught us, that we might love God, love others, and then endeavor to live like you, Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.